Hey, everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number. I have no idea. 314.
I wasn't even here last.
I know. Are you ready? I'm sorry. No, I made lots of notes. I have lots of stuff to talk about, but I forgot to write the episode number. 313. Oh no, it's all gone crazy. Well, 313.
If you've gotten this far, iTunes has already told you, or Apple Podcasts, sorry, has already told you what episode number it is.
Okay, wrote it down so I don't mess up. 313. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's 313. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Yep. Ba-da-ba-ba. It's the final countdown already?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Wow. It's going to be a short podcast.
Yeah. There's Job, Dan Searman. Okay, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Josh.
Pat.
Adam.
No, Adam wimped out and decided not to come in.
Wimped out?
Yeah, I don't know why. We'll have to mock him if he ever comes
back.
He's
the smart one.
Why, for not coming? He's afraid of the snow?
At home playing video games or doing something awesome?
Wow.
This isn't awesome?
I'm going to say, this is being part of a community, a team. You know, we're doing a community service. We're helping people learn.
Yeah, don't you want to service the community?
We're all entertainers.
I'll let Colin do the servicing on our behalf.
I try to be nice, let you guys hang out.
You know, he's a director. He demands respect now.
That's right.
See what he did? He got a hold of DC Comics, and just like that, they changed their cover policy.
That was one thing Jermaine said when I was complaining about the, you know, all the late ads and stuff. He's like, "You're a director, just put your foot down." I'm like,
"Yeah."
Dude, with your problems, you might not want to do that too hard, or you hurt yourself.
That's true.
Wouldn't be that far. Thanks. Damn. Yeah, Spencer's coming in with the digs tonight.
Man,
well, I got you. You know, I got
know,
you something nice
I
that I got to be mean afterwards.
I appreciate it very much.
You do things like that, so you build some...
I build some self-esteem and then I just tear it down.
I see how it is now. Okay. So, Pat, any news?
I have no idea.
That's okay. Pat has given up on the news business.
I think Josh said my whole segment's dead, which it really isn't my segment anyway. But
it was. It was Pat's news.
I think he still asks you every single week just to shame you on air.
No, I'd feel bad if I started and he was all ready, and then he'd be like, "What the hell, man? We don't want that."
If that ever happens, we will all mock him because he would have no room to be like,
"Okay, fair enough."
That's true.
So, there were some comic book announcements out at, that's from the accident. Yeah,
oh,
the
okay.
Gouge, yeah. This table, there's a big, right there. Big, I don't know what happened there, but.
Oh, there's still this, too.
Yeah. You like that?
Not really. I'd like it better with a window.
Yeah, so would I.
When's the pop company sending you on a new fridge?
When I tell them that they need that the fridge is dead.
You haven't told them yet?
I emailed every person I know there, every contact I had, and apparently they're all gone, so I need to call them. And
I would think they would say, "Hey, you haven't bought soda in like..."
Well, they probably are thinking that. I've told them every time they call and I talk to them, but no one has ever, you know, said, "Oh, well, we'll have operations call you," or whatever, so... Yeah. And I don't need a new fridge, because guess what? I have nowhere to plug it in. There's no outlet.
Not only that, it's so cold outside, you can just put the soda right up against the wall.
Could you do the no outlet motion again?
There's no outlet.
No, you...
What
you
was
did.
It? next time you're in, ask Josh to do a dramatic reenactment.
He's like, "There's no outlet, you know?"
Why do I do this again?
Hey. Give pleasure.
To service the community.
That was quite the outreach.
Base to tip, Colin's got you covered. Let's podcast.
So what other news you got, Colin?
Mark News, this will be the last episode.
313 is a real nice number. We should be very proud of getting that.
See, now Final Countdown. Well, yeah.
Marvel, out at, they had the East Coast, or no, I'm sorry, the Emerald City Comic Con last weekend. And Marvel made a bunch of announcements of new Fresh Start books, because we'd already had, they'd already announced the Avengers, Black Panther, and Venom. And to that, we have added Immortal Hulk with Al Ewing and Joe Bennett. Doctor Strange with a new, and these are all number ones. With Mark Waid and Jesus Saez. Thor with Jason Aaron, that's not a shocker, with Mike Del Mundo coming on that one, which is going to be, again, interesting. We have Tony Stark Iron Man with Dan Slott and Valeria Sheedy. Little concerned with that one being Iron Man starting with a T, because it's Tony Stark Iron Man, so that's just going to be not a problem, but...
Iron Man...
Well, no, but it's going to be on the what's coming list. It's going to be under T, so I'm just concerned. You know,
you'll miss
part of my unless they're keeping Invincible Iron Man with Riri. I just wonder why you would change, because it part of my thought is they've established these names: Amazing Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk.
But they've had Peter Parker Spider-Man.
They have. But yeah, just Tony Stark Iron Man. Just an odd choice, just being under a T.
Maybe they just, that's a little jab of it to everybody who's been complaining about not having right. Tony Stark as Iron Man.
Right, so here you go. Captain America with Ta-Nehisi Coates and Lionel Yu. Amazing Spider-Man with Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley, fresh off of Invincible. We have The Life of Captain Marvel with Margaret Stoll and Carlos Pacheco.
Is that Captain Marvel or Captain Marvel?
Well, it's Lady Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel.
Well, I always assume the guy was Mar-Vell.
Yeah, he's Mar-Vell. She's right, Marvel.
Marvel, yeah. And then we also have a new Sentry book with Jeff Lemire and Kim Jacinto. They just announced that. And then Deadpool with Scotty Young and Nick Klein. So all those are getting new number ones or new series. DC is announced.
Legacy isn't lasting very long.
That was the one.
Legacy is now Legacy.
Yeah.
That was the one disappointing thing out of Comics Pro, that they didn't come out and say, you know, this didn't work and we're trying something different. We're going forward with a new initiative and everything. They just kind of said, hey, here's the next big thing. And it's like...
Well, how long have they been doing Legacy for?
Started in October.
Okay.
Oh, so they've given it a whole 4 months, yeah. 5 months.
Right. And I get it with the new editor-in-chief coming in. This is his
fingerprints. Doesn't he have to get permission to leave China first?
He still cannot leave China. But this is his initiative, so I get it. But a little mea culpa would have been nice. Instead of, you know, saying, hey, sorry we made you order all these books that didn't sell. Here's something else. So
here's another way to get you to buy a bunch of books that won't sell.
Well, they are. They're doing the real easy match to ratios of 350% of Avengers and stuff like that.
That shit?
Oh, yeah. We ask them not to, and they do. So... it's one of those things, you know, will we ever learn, but, yeah.
Every retailer just needs to say, we won't buy a single book for a month.
No, it's just every retailer has to not do it. You know, and all of a sudden if they see because the problem is they see bumps. But you're going to get a bump with a number one, you know, because people want to believe. You know, I'm going to order a lot of Avengers because I'm like, this is the Avengers series people are going to want. Hopefully, please, dear God, there has to be something
good.
What's
the Avengers team?
Ghost Rider?
Deadpool?
That's the
prehistoric.
Yeah, prehistoric.
Right, but so we have...
But that's what I'm saying.
It's shocking. This is going to shock you. Black Panther.
Doctor Strange?
Iron Man. Yes. Captain America, Thor, Captain Marvel.
Which Thor?
She-Hulk, Odinson. Because the other one's dying. And Ghost Rider, which I do not get Ghost Rider being.
Ghost Rider's not an Avenger.
Well, yeah. And it's not even like, it's not even the good Ghost Rider.
Oh, it's Robbie Reyes?
Right.
Yeah.
But he
did. Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah. But he
did. And She-Hulk looks beastly. Like, that doesn't look like She-Hulk. She-Hulk is supposed to look feminine, but she's, you know, she's green, she's strong, whatever. This looks like they put Hulk in a wig and gave it a bad boob job.
Yeah, she's pretty jacked.
Just saying.
Oh. Just jealous.
Me too.
DC's big announcement was interesting. They're expanding the Vertigo universe, or the Sandman universe, with getting, there's going to be a one-shot, the Sandman universe, that's plotted by Neil Gaiman with the writers of the four different books. And then we're getting House of Whispers, Books of Magic, The Dreaming, and Lucifer, all spinning out of this. So I'm excited for this because I feel this is a very Vertigo store. And I think these are going to do well, at least initially. These should do pretty well out of the gate. Other announcement from DC was Jinx World is expanding. Bendis's private imprint. So not only is he going to be continuing his Jinx World books, we should be getting United States of Murder, Powers, Scarlet, coming from that. But then he has two new ones he just announced. Pearl with Michael Gatos and Cover with David Mack. So... he's definitely, looks like, you know, bringing some new stuff in, hopefully a little recharge, unless this stuff has just been on the back burner that he couldn't get done at Marvel. So I don't know exactly where these are coming from, but we have covers and everything already. So that was really the big news. I don't have any other news.
More shakeups of Valiant.
Yeah, I saw Hunter Goranson left Valiant, and then just today Chris Ryle, the publisher and editor-in-chief of, or the editor-in-chief of... IDW left today, or is leaving. So yeah, lots of shakeups. Yeah, Hunter was an interesting one. He was in Portland.
What did he talk to him,
but he was there. He was a
VP. He's been there from the beginning, but I don't know what his official title was, but it sounded like he was very much behind bringing a lot of the like big hits.
It said he was working on the movie stuff, and it looks like maybe he just got pushed aside with this whole thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very interesting to see what the landscape for Viant looks like a year from now.
Yeah.
Because right now, like for the next 6 months, it's all stuff that's still in the pipeline.
Right.
But after that, that's going to be when.
Yeah, the new people and the new stuff. Yeah.
That's the tricky thing with comics is that they have to get the stuff ready and done so far in advance.
Right.
When stuff like this happens, or
you don't see the immediate impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, lots of changes. So.
How about ask you? How's your comic pressing?
You know, I played with it a little bit, but not a ton. Okay. So I just need to play with it more. It's just problem is it.
Was it sleepy time?
Yeah, it was my daughter. That's her tech sound. I'm sleeping. I haven't really fussed with it. Because I think it's, you have to put it in and then leave it like for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Or you put it in for 20 minutes, flip it over 20 minutes, and then leave it for 4 hours. So I just need to, by the time I get home, it's like, so I need to play with it. Maybe a little more this weekend. I'll get back on it. Because I tucked it away and stuff, so it's not out. But
you keep it at home, not here?
Yeah. I wouldn't know where to put it here, with an outlet, and all that fun stuff. I wouldn't want it on the front table.
Yeah, because he doesn't have an outlet anymore.
I don't have an outlet right here. So.
What sort of voltage you got going on there?
I haven't had great results with it. Interesting results, but nothing that I'd hoped for. I'd hope for something a little more dramatic, but we'll see. Maybe I'm not doing it right. Keep playing with it. I had a book that a customer had knocked off the wall and, of course, dinged a corner. So I was trying that to see if it fixed it. It
didn't. No.
So it hurt. Took a $120 book down to a $40 book. It's like, thanks.
What book was it?
First appearance of Cloak and Dagger. It's like, why would you knock that? It's not that hard to not knock something off the wall and let it fall all the way to the floor.
Why are they touching those books?
That was the other thing. Yeah.
It's not the first time someone's knocked something off the wall.
So it's like, do I need to put up a little red rope?
No.
You can just take a don't touch sign.
Trap door.
Hmm.
Maybe time to just put all the stuff in the glass cabinet at the counter.
Yeah.
Hey, get rid of the Star Wars ships and...
he marks them down to $5 again, huh? I know.
Okay.
But you always call them Star Wars ships.
No, me? Yeah. That's just...
except when the sale was going on. Then they were very much Star Trek ships. He knew all of them then.
Came like the best like used comments. What did they need about this one is?
Yeah. Give you the Ferengi Marauder is. Notice the horseshoe crab shape to it the designers were going for.
We'll get them all out and let you come and hawk your wares. So I don't know anything about them. Okay. So that's all I got news. Anybody else have anything going on to talk about?
I don't think so. I haven't seen anything else news-wise. Yeah. I haven't been following much. Because Bleeding Cool is the only site that I
know. Like I tried to look at Newsarama today, and immediately I was told I won an iPhone.
Well,
so.
See,
nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And Bleeding Cool is only tolerable if you have an ad blocker on. I had to go to it on my phone, and it kept taking me into some other. Ad.
That was funny when I was emailing back and forth with Rich Johnson and said even he has an ad blocker on. It's like it's your site, dude. It's I mean, it's not, but it's still, it's, you're the face of the site, so.
Oh.
Hey. So, who read something?
I read something. Rough Riders. This was the start of a brand new story arc.
Volume 3?
Yep, Volume 3, Ride or Die. In this, it starts off with Teddy Roosevelt's already been.
They all were dead on the cover.
No, they're not. Teddy Roosevelt has been inaugurated president, and Thomas Edison comes to find him, Houdini comes to find him. He's been working with spiritualists, doing seances, and he was trying to figure out the trick, and apparently someone unleashed a demon. And so it looks like that's going to be the team's new mission. And at the end, they got a new recruit, H.P. Lovecraft.
Hmm. So, that could be interesting.
Yeah, so I'm hoping Cthulhu shows up at
some
point.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it, right
every,
back.
Every team needs like a mystical, magical guy, right? So.
Yeah. Well, and you know the team is kind of back, you know, at each other's throats, and you know no one really likes anybody. So it's back to form. The Terrifics.
I read that.
Yeah,
I liked that quite a bit.
Yes, that was a lot of fun.
It was very.
I really liked Plastic Man. He was a lot of fun.
So I don't know if I missed the explanation, or was that the reveal in there why he was?
That was the reveal.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there was no explanation through metal aside from saying that like he had some affiliation with the metals.
Okay, that part is disappointing because I don't think. They should have spoiled that, but
I have a feeling you're going to find it out anyways in the end of
at the end of Metal.
Metal, so
I don't know how Metal's going to end in one issue.
No one knows how Metal's in one issue. Like,
well, when it comes out the 18th or something like that.
The Apes, duh.
Yeah. So
that, by the way, was awesome.
It was awesome, but there's so much to do still that I'm fully expecting to be disappointed by the ending because I don't think it. Either it's not going to be a true ending, or they're going to try to wrap up so much stuff at breakneck pace, and it's not going to land well. But we'll see.
Is it a normal size issue, or is it like
no,
a
it's
double?
Bigger. I think it's bigger. Yeah.
Okay. But this is very much the Fantastic Four team that we don't have in Marvel Universe. It was a good introduction to the world they live in, and. You know, why they're the team that they are. Now, the girl that they met on that planet, she I didn't recognize.
Isn't she, like, one of, like, the Legion, like, satellite girl or something like that?
Bye, Tim!
Saturn girl?
Bye, Tim.
No, I don't think she's Saturn girl.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think she is either.
Oh, okay.
Did they say what her name was?
I don't think so. Or if they did,
it's Shadow Girl. But
is it
Shadow Girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's like not the one you think she is. Like not from the Legion, but it certainly seemed like she was the Legion.
I haven't investigated, but like the name of her planet was a very Legion type name, you know, BQZ.
So Shadow Girl's a Legion character, though?
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of right.
Yeah.
You were way more right than I was.
You didn't know who was playing, but you were at the park.
That is good considering I have never read like any Legion whatsoever, so.
Why not?
I don't know.
Do you not know a place where you can buy it at?
Just never got into it.
You could.
Okay, I guess.
Colin can get you into it.
Maybe.
Colin can get you into lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a creepy one, too.
But not creepy.
I'm trying to get you some sales.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome.
But no, I enjoyed it a lot. I really liked the interactions with all the characters. It definitely did have kind of a, you know, the Fantastic Four vibe with Metamorpho being the Hank Pym, kind of the exasperated guy. I don't know exactly who Plastic Man is, but he was a lot of fun.
He was probably the Human Torch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Was more the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
just the way they were bickering.
But,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, no, that was just really a lot of fun. And, like, they were pretty much, like, on a giant Galactus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You notice it seemed like they always had Metamorpho, like, bigger, too. Normally he's kind of, like, a more, like, leaner kind of character, but it seemed like they even had drew him
intentionally
drew bigger him to kind of make him look more thing-like.
Yeah.
They had to do an episode where he changes his whole body into rock for some reason.
And then the mouse sues.
Oh, no. He's back at the mouse, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean,
he's
basically writing.
Not too many people are writing for both companies at the same time.
And he's basically writing a Superman book now for Marvel with Sentry.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling he's at the point now where he knows he does not need to take an exclusive contract somewhere, and he will just do whatever interests him at, you know, whatever company it may be.
And I'm sure Marvel is willing to take whatever kind of name. Because
today
they can.
He had a Dark Horse and an Image book come out as well. Oh, and a Valiant book.
Yeah, he's with all
like
the big names except for Boom.
It's like Cullen Bunn. Cullen Bunn
but
has
better.
An action lamp.
I was
going to
say, I was like, oh, that's mean, but.
What?
And I read a lot of comics.
I was
going to
say, but better. But
right, but yeah, no, but Cullen Bunn even has an action lab book coming out next week.
Wow.
Wow.
I personally think Jeff Lemire is the best creator in comics right now. Arguably the best creator in comics.
I'm a king.
Jeff Lemire is an all-around
Right, I hear you, creator, but I'm just saying I like.
Jeff Lemire makes you sit there and honestly debate with yourself that small hockey town Canada is the ideal comic book.
And Tom King made you care about Kite Man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah.
And Mr. Miracle.
Well,
Don't say you cared about Mr. Miracle before this.
I cared about Mr. Miracle.
He was my favorite. No, said no one ever.
Big Barda.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a whole different thing.
See?
I had fun. Sam Humphries tweeted like a teaser saying he's going to be writing a new DC book coming out in 2018, but he wouldn't say who it was. And a lot of people saying Legion, and I put fingers crossed emoji, Blue Devil, fingers crossed emoji.
Did he respond to you?
No.
So you nailed it.
But I met him last week. I think he'd remember me.
Oh, yeah.
With all the other people he met.
Sure.
And I do want to apologize to Jen Bartel because I forgot her name on my TV show. I felt really bad because I was talking about their new book that they had coming out. And I said Sam Humphries and
you blanked.
I totally blanked. I was complimenting them because they actually...
TV isn't live, man. You can, like, cut and then go back and refill.
I get back to that in a sec. They got a table at Comics Pro to talk to us. I thought that was good initiative for a creator. They gave out little pins that were great and just to talk to us. I thought that was really good initiative. And she was great, really friendly. Her art was fantastic. She had it on an iPad, and there was just one pin up, and I just looked at her. I'm like, damn, and it was beautiful. And she just kind of smiled and nodded.
She's like, I know.
Yeah. But the TV show, it was funny because I do my spiel and... Most of the time, I don't have to stop, so there are no edits, and it's just me talking straight. Mm-hmm. And this week, it was 25 minutes, just me sitting there talking nonstop for 25 minutes. I mean, I do that on the podcast a lot, but it's a little different when you're on camera.
You have never talked 25 minutes straight on the podcast.
Yeah, he has. Rant. When he's upset about something.
Okay.
Oh, I did mean to do a rant. I'll have to do it at the end.
Yeah, I was gonna.
It actually yeah, it works.
You should have nudged me.
It actually works in better for the end anyway.
If he makes it.
I'm sorry, no.
Pat, give him mouth to mouth. He needs it.
No.
Save him. I'm coming, Lizbeth. This is the big one.
No, a little saliva went down the wrong way. Sorry. Suck. You all suck. I hate you. I hate you all.
Okay. Do you want me to continue
talking? Yeah, keep going.
You should lean forward when you're talking to the mic. Just so listeners at home can hear you.
He knows how to talk into the mic. Detective.
Detective was really good.
Yeah. That, yeah.
It's a really good issue.
It was the
Trial of Batwoman.
The Trial of Batwoman, but it really wasn't, which was the best part. It was Batman and the rest of the Bat family kind of debating. Well, I'm sorry, part of the Bat family, because Lucas Fox and Azrael are clearly on the side of Batwoman.
But I don't know if you can, this is the core, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, and the core Bat family.
The only person I would say would be missing would be Duke.
No, Duke hasn't earned a stripe yet.
But
they've showed him.
He's been part of the Bat family though, recently.
Yeah.
They actually said in Batman, the first issue of his series that he has earned his place in the Bat family.
I mean,
it was a big deal.
And he was there with them whenever Batman told everybody else that, you know, when he was getting married to Catwoman.
That's mm-hmm. right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe Duke should have been there.
Duke's been there since year zero.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
How long have you been there, Pat?
Not since year zero.
That's right. Since New 52.
Consistently, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read Batman before that, but not consistently.
There were Batman before 2012.
What?
Not a steady. Not a steady Batman.
Yeah, so the Bat family, kind of the core Bat family, discusses what to do about Batwoman, and I loved how Batgirl just kind of turned the whole argument around.
I loved all of them. Like, the Tinian did a great job of giving each of them
a true voice.
Their true, like, unique voice and that was true really, to the characters.
Yeah, that really went with each one. Yeah, like
the interactions between Dick and Barbara before
yes.
they went to the cave, that was great. Jason Todd was great. The only one that was a bit off, just because I think it slipped back into just being an uber douche, was Damian.
Yeah.
But
uber douche.
But Damian is an uber douche most of the time.
But he's gotten better in other books. Sometimes yeah. writers slip back into him just being a complete...
Well, that's it. Tomasi writes him better.
Yeah,
is ultimately what it is.
Like I didn't buy the hint he would be saying. I don't think any of you should be part of the Bat family.
No, he even begrudgingly he certainly has that respect for Dick if no one mm-hmm. else.
And I think Barbara too. Like,
yeah, but I mean, he was Robin to Dick's Batman. And I don't think he would ever say. Yeah, you don't belong. Like, he was the first one to wear the costume.
Like, I could see him thinking that about Todd, but...
Yeah.
Or even Drake, but...
Yeah.
Not Dick and Barbara.
I just thought it was really good, and it certainly seems like it's setting up exactly what future Tim Drake said was going to happen, mm-hmm. so...
Yeah, and then she, before the trial's even over, she ends up taking up her... father's offer of mm-hmm. joining the colony.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, she was, as Barbara was pointing out, you know, she's essentially putting herself on trial
yeah.
in her own head.
It was nice to see those flashbacks whenever her and Bruce were kids.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Because we saw flashbacks in, previously, I can't think if it was part of Rebirth or if it was in New 52 still, whenever Bruce's parents died and saw her at that funeral.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to see now. Actually, no, I think it was the beginning of this run. Beginning of Rebirth with Detective, we saw that. Whenever he was initially going to her to get her part of the team.
Yeah, it might have been.
But then to see him, you know, on the flip side, whenever her mom died.
Yeah. I didn't like the fact that they got Cassandra out of there. She deserved to be part of that discussion.
I don't think
the emotion would have been there.
I don't think she could have handled being part of that discussion.
But I think she had just as much of a right as anyone else to be there.
But the discussion was as much about her as it was about Batwoman.
Yeah, but...
And you got that nice one with her and Alfred.
No, and that was pretty cool, you know.
Like, the big thing that she needs is that human interaction.
Right.
That's what she's lacking.
It felt like she didn't have a true voice in the room. And that was kind of disappointing, because ultimately, of the group, she was the one most harmed by the death of Clayface, because that was her connection, you know, that was her friend. I don't feel like anyone really advocated for her and what her needs are in that room. Not enough.
I feel like Barbara was.
From afar.
I almost feel like this is setting up for Barbara to take more of a role with some of those characters like Stephanie Brown and Cassandra.
Yeah.
With,
the new Birds of Prey.
Yeah, I think I did hear something about they're supposed to be, like, canceling, like, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey and just have, like, Birds of Prey, really? So.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Silencer.
I read that. This book surprised me, because this is a book that I picked up the first issue just because I wanted to check out the first of all these new ones.
I did on Tim's recommendation.
But it's quite good. I'm really surprised.
Who's the writer on that one?
Is it Abnett? Is it Dan Abnett?
Yeah, Abnett. Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking in my head, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, Dan Abnett.
Yeah.
And J.R. is artist.
Yeah, I remember him being the artist.
And his artwork's for this.
Yeah. Stop
drawing the kid and we'll be okay.
He isn't focused on the kid heavily, so.
The coloring on that kind of shifts, because there were a couple times where she looked like she changed races in the middle of the book.
That's more colorist, I'd say.
Well, yeah, no, I...
Yeah, he said coloring.
Yeah.
It almost felt like the color saturation is what it was. Mm-hmm. Because, like, a couple of the pages, it looked like, I don't know if they were trying to do something with the lighting in the room,
mm-hmm.
but it made the color saturation, like, really dial it up.
Okay.
And that's what made made her race look different almost.
Yeah.
But that's a wacky cover. But yeah, it's kind of a fun book. Going to Mall Mart.
Yeah.
Maul Mart to... For all their armory needs.
Mm-hmm.
She feels like a badass.
Yeah.
Like, even though I think her ability of just silencing everything is kind of lame.
But that's kind of cool, though,
it's cool for an assassin.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's not anything terribly, you know, useful, but...
But even, like, her interaction with the agency and with the cleaner and all that, I thought that was pretty cool.
What are you giggling about over there?
The first six letters in the board down at the bottom.
Oh.
That's left.
Okay.
Keep going.
I'm not going to say that. Pat would say it.
There ain't much that Pat wouldn't say.
That's true.
And Mara.
I read that.
I like that.
Yeah. I haven't been keeping up in Aquaman, so I didn't, you know, exactly know what was going on. I didn't understand why Orm was living with a family.
Mm-mm. That's back from Forever Evil. In Forever Evil, he was going to go back to take over Atlantis and ended up saving that wife that woman and her kid. Because the villains were running
yeah, but I didn't know he stayed there. I thought he... And since I
no
haven't
one knew
followed,
he stayed there,
okay,
I don't think.
Yeah.
He just... Yeah. This is the first we've seen Orm in a very long time.
Okay.
But yeah, that was nice to see that tied back to Forever Evil and showed that actually, you know, mattered.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, clearly he's torn at the end, but you
know, he's saying he's very happy in his current, like, his life on the surface. He loves this woman. The kid's calling him dad, and he, you know, he seems to really care about it. But once he hears that his brother is dead and that Mira is taking the throne, or has been named queen of Atlantis, it didn't seem like he was bothered so much about, like, Wrath being king of Atlantis. It was just whenever he heard that Arthur was dead and that Mira was named, you know,
right,
queen.
Well, because if Arthur is dead, you know, in his mind, he should be next in line. I kind of get that.
But I'm not sure if that's what it is. I'm not sure if it's he feels he's next in line, so if it's just same old Orm, or if this is an Orm who has, you know, softened on around the edges a little bit from his life on the surface, and now thinks that maybe he needs to go back and try and help save Atlantis. So I'm curious.
That's
to
interesting.
See,
yeah,
I'm curious to which way they take
that,
it.
Yeah, I could see it going that way too. Yeah,
because I mean, they could very easily just make him the same villain again. But I think it'd be interesting if they made him more of like an anti-hero.
Okay. The new Aquaman.
Kinda like he can now more appreciate where, you know, how his brother was torn all those years.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. Yeah, but this is, you know, there's essentially civil war going on in Atlantis, and she's not only, she's magically injured.
Yeah, so what happened with that? Because I don't think they gave a whole lot of the backstory.
Not a whole lot.
But there's the Crown of Thorns, and it's magic is what has, you know, created this Crown of Thorns over Atlantis. But some of the people from the magic school were able to pass through it with the use of these amulets. So she, through Garth's help, was able to get one of the amulets, but it was damaged when they were fighting. So she passed through the crown, but when she passed through, the damaged amulet affected her, and she no longer could breathe underwater. They were able to cure her, but while she was healing, she needs to be on the surface breathing air, because right now her body cannot handle trying to also breathe water.
It also looks like her aquakinesis is diminished.
Because she's weakened and still healing.
Yeah. But what's the girl that's with her?
Tula,
yeah. She said that it will heal, it just takes time.
I'm glad they point out in this that Tula has grown very comfortable and with her life on the surface kind of loves the situation she's in right now, because it makes it make more sense as to why she wouldn't have gone back to Atlantis with everything happening, because she's also part of the royal family. I mean, if they don't want Aquaman on the throne, Tula's also another option. But to show that she just kind of doesn't want to go back, that she, you know, likes where she's at now, that she's comfortable where she's at now.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
And then there's also a lot of Mira working with the government to try to keep peace between the U.S. and Atlantis, because they're afraid that war in the ocean will spill back onto the land and cause problems again.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was pretty good.
No, it was really good. I've loved the Aquaman book up to this point, and this seems like just a nice, you know, continuation of it.
Some good cameos by Superman and Wonder Woman, but generally it stuck to Aquaman's core characters.
Yeah. No, it was a good book. And so this is a miniseries, right, Colin?
Yeah.
Six. Yeah.
So that's what I read.
Cool. Doom Patrol JLA special? Anyone?
Sold out before I could read it.
Was that part of the Milk War thing?
This is the finale.
Okay.
Yeah. So this wraps up the whole Milk Wars thing. We have all of the heroes that we've seen through all the other issues making their way to the Retcon headquarters and taking on Milkman Man and his bovine super soldiers in this giant, you know, milk battle. This is a weird event.
You don't say.
Yeah. So So the whole premise of this event
is led by Milkman Man. No, it's not a weird event.
The whole premise of the event was that Retcon is dealing in.
That's his name, Retcon?
The Retcon's the company.
Okay.
They're dealing in selling realty from different realities. So they are trying to sell Prime Earth to someone. And to make Prime Earth more desirable, they are trying to, as they were calling it, homogenize it. And use Milkman Man, their fabricated superhero. They use Superman as a blueprint to create him. He was born of Casey Brink from Doom Patrol. So they're using him and the milk to kind of pacify everyone on Earth and make Earth seem very, you know, bland and calm and like an ideal, you know, piece of real estate to purchase. And as things are escalating, then the person who's going to be buying it realizes that Prime Earth may be too wild, as you know, and not the ideal real estate to purchase. The whole story's wacky. Like, that part really didn't land with me at all.
Okay.
And even like the milk stuff didn't really land. But it seemed like more like this was a vessel to launch the young animal books to their next phase, because this sets up where, you know, Cave Carson is now in space, and Mother Panic is in this future version of Gotham, and Shade is now, you know, going from Shade the Changing Girl to Shade the Changing Woman. So it looks like it aged her suddenly, and then also introduced that new Eternity Girl character at the very end. So there's this big, huge fight, and there's some really gorgeous double-page spreads in this book going up between all the heroes and Milkman Man before the Retcon finally decides that all is lost. They can't sell Prime Earth. If they can't sell it, then no one's going to be able to sell it. So they're just going to wipe out that entire reality. So they try to do that, and when they're doing that, then Batman realizes that there is a way they can stop reality from being erased by using Flex Mentallo's abilities. First, he thinks it's muscle mystery. Or is it mystery muscle? Whatever it is, they can stop it, but it's actually another ability he has. This is. Okay. I hate even describing this because I know that it's making no sense at all. You just have to read it. Surprisingly, the last issue made a lot more sense than the first issue, but still, like, even talking about it, I feel like an idiot because it makes no sense.
No, Josh, it's okay.
Like, at one point, you have all the heroes, and they're just, they look like they're blown up balloons because of this, I think it was called inversion ability of Mentallo, that they're using to stop the reality from being overwritten. But it was weird. If you like weird, if you like these characters, if you like the young animal, check out this event. If you were just curious and you haven't been reading these books, I'd
stay away from
it. I don't know if I would jump into this. Maybe the trades you could sit down and read. Oh, I guess you could come by all the issues now since this is the last issue. But the big thing, this seemed to set up.
He sold out.
Oh, well, he might be getting more in.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then buy the trade when he gets the trade. but like I said, this really just sets up the next phase of the Young Animal books. So I enjoyed it, but it wasn't my favorite of events. So now I'm done with that atrocity. Of an explanation
that you enjoyed.
Well, so you didn't have to talk about it.
My explanation was the atrocity. Well, I feel like I had to talk about it. I thought at least one of you had also read it, so I thought I would have a partner here, but
nope.
I was mistaken. Imaginary Fiends, number 4. You stopped reading that after one.
That's the one with the
I didn't stop, I just...
Yeah.
And then sold out of number 2 real quick, so I was weak behind on that, and then it just...
This is another weird book.
Yeah.
At one point, there was a giant crazy-looking cat that had children that were nursing off of it, and then those children wear cat masks and go kidnap other people to bring them to this cat, this imaginary friend cat.
Sure, why not? That makes sense.
As often happens.
Yeah, so in this issue... the imaginary friend Polly Peachpit is being attacked by her husband, Charlie Chokecherry, what his name is.
Sure.
I'm just going for like all the weird books today, so it works fine. I'm gonna leave all the softballs for Spencer. so they are fighting. He's very bitter because she kind of treated him like crap, and she was more focused on the real world and her ties to the real world and how people would fear her or love her in connection to the real world. And the whole time while they're fighting, she's trying desperately to get this baby to be able to see her, because once the baby can see her, then it will fear her, and as the baby fears her, then she'll have more power.
Okay.
Because that's how these imaginary friends, thrive, is by the fear and love and loyalty of their human hosts. So while that's going on, the one girl who was originally like in prison because of what Polly Peachpit made her do, Melba, she has been captured by the kids that all had gone missing, that we found out were actually, kind of entranced by the Freddy Cat imaginary fiend friend. So they kidnapped her, and the cat looks like it wants to bring Melba into the fold with these kids that it's kind of twisted their mind, but then discovers that, she's too far gone. Like, she doesn't fear anymore because all the things she dealt with Polly Peachpit, so now they're trying to kill her. And then the government agent who she's been working with, he's still investigating what's going on and has some visions of his own, of his partner that had died previously. But this is another weird book, but when you're reading it, it makes sense. It's Tim Seeley. It's a really cool, creepy book. As I was reading this one, my daughter actually came up. She's like, "Oh, what's that book?" And she was asking a question. I'm like, "Well, it's about imaginary friends, but they kind of kill people, and they try to scare the kid."
She was all like, "Oh, like mine." And then that's when Josh laughed.
She just gave me this look like, "Why are you reading this book?" I'm like, it's actually pretty good. There's some really creepy visuals in here. But it's a good book. I would definitely, if you like Tim Seeley like strange horror, I would definitely check out the trade when it comes out. There's two more issues left of this one.
Oh, it's only a mini?
Yeah, six issues. Royal City, number 10. So this is the, I think, conclusion.
Oh, that crappy writer.
Crappy writer. Conclusion to the second arc of this book. So this looks like it's leading up to, I thought we were going to see the brother die in this issue, and it looks like it's ending right before he dies.
Okay.
But only because he says, like, "This is the day that I die." What essentially happens is he's becoming further more and more distant from everyone around him. He gets sucked into this party. He ends up drinking, even though he's on these meds. He's not supposed to be drinking. And his brother's girlfriend, who he's had a kind of a crush on, and his brother's treated like crap, he ends up, drunkenly talking to her and consoling her because she's upset because his older brother is with some other girl, and they end up sleeping together. And from all the excitement and the alcohol, it looks like that's leading to, plus his meds, looks like it's leading to something finally happening. But it's just a really good series. So Jeff Lemire does a great job of taking a very quaint setting, in this case, this small little mill town. And
he's good with characters.
Taking these characters and making these very deep characters with mysterious backgrounds and making you really care and get invested in what's going on with all these characters. Even the characters that aren't on the forefront of the story, you're still very invested. Like the sister and her husband, her future husband, we found out they have a pregnancy scare. And it's just a minor little thing in terms of the story, but you're really invested because you see how their relationship ends up in the future, because this arc is taking place in the past. But it's really good. The art's fantastic. The writing's fantastic. Pretty much anything Jeff Lemire, I shouldn't say anything, his X-Men run wasn't great, but most of his stuff where he has control over it is really good. Let's see. What else? Exo Manowar. Sigmar 12? You're not reading that?
No, I'm trading.
Trading, okay.
I did just finish the second trade of it, though, the other day. So that was pretty good.
So this starts off with Eric sitting completely naked next to a little watering hole, eating a lizard, and just out in the middle of nowhere.
As one does.
And these, like, pirate-looking guys kind of show up and, you know, they realize who he is, and Yar. They want to harass him because...
You be Exo-Manowar.
They are harassing him because they know he's the Emperor, and they blame him for all the you know, trouble they've had happen lately. And we find out that he's been kind of, you know, just chilling there, but really it's been a bit of a trap because he has his robot friend with him who, like, the robot was with those bounty hunters, but then...
Awesome-o?
Not Awesome-o. I forget the robot's name, but it's like the ginger robot from Unity. Remember the giant robot from the other Valentine books?
Okay.
Only this one's just the head.
Okay.
The rest of the body's gone. But it has partnered up with Eric. So as the pirates think they have the upper hand on him, the robot emerges from this, you know, watering hole and quickly turns the tide. So he manages to get there, get the one guy's clothes and his horse, and decides to head out to the capital and confront the his former allies that have turned on him. And while that's happening, we see the bounty hunters who are all trying to figure out what to make of the Exo armor that they've captured. And the one decides he wants to, you know, try it on and feel the power. And he does so, but then the Exo armor completely...
Bad idea.
...liquefies him in the process. So Eric confronts his former allies, and we find out that, you know, they didn't realize that the bounty hunters, the plan was for the bounty hunters to kill him. And we found out that one of the people in that council were backstabbing the other ones and really was just trying to get Eric killed and then take out the other ones so that way he would be placed in power. So this issue turns very brutal very quickly, and a lot of key players that have been in this book so far end up killed or disemboweled or... very severely injured. I won't go into specifics of who, since you're reading in the trade, but this becomes a very amped up, gruesome meeting very quickly.
So he's getting ready to come back to Earth here soon, isn't he?
Soon. But this issue does end with him finally, like, fully embracing the Exo armor and coming to terms with it and not believing that it's a... You know, a weapon that just brings, it's cursed and brings harm now that he, you know, he looks at it as an extension of himself. I think he comes back to Earth within the next couple issues, like 14 or 15, I think they said.
But I'm happy to see that this is going on, like...
Yeah. It's a really good book. Matt Kent is telling a really interesting story. The art's been fantastic. He's had such good artists on there. The art in this issue was really good. It was Ryan Bodenheim, and he did a great job of, like, the scenes where people are just getting brutalized. It's graphic, but it's not gross.
Yeah.
Like, it almost has, like, a beautiful quality to it, as you see someone laying there with their legs completely chopped off and, like, stuff spilling out of them, but it never comes across as, like, grotesque.
Then it's not just, like, gore for gore's sake.
Yeah, it's really well done. But yeah, that's been great. And the other ones I have, I think you read, Spencer, so I'm going to save those for you.
All right. I'll start with The Flash.
That is one of them. It's okay.
Yeah,
I haven't been reading it, but I'm looking for. I read the annual one. I'm looking forward to this Flash War.
Yeah.
Oh, there's one more. I'll mention after you. Cause I don't think you read it, but.
What did you just want to do now?
I was going to mention Action Comics.
Yeah, I read Action.
So I haven't loved this arc, but I really like this ending.
Yes, I really liked how Booster kind of went. You know what? He just watched his whole planet get destroyed. He watched his mom die. I'm going to give him this one.
Yeah, like all of it. Like, whenever they are...
Skeets now being a...
Eradicator.
Like when they are locked up and seeing Skeets kind of save the day there. Booster felt like Booster in this.
Yeah.
It's just this arc felt like it drug on a bit long. I think it was six issues.
There were some weird art moves where, like, at one point, like, two people were holding Superman's arms, like, let's make a wish, and all of a sudden the next scene has one of them holding him and the other one about to punch. It was just weird. Well, yeah, how did you get from there to there?
It just didn't... More Zod were,
yeah, it just, there were just some odd transitions.
Skeets taking over all the Eradicator army.
Yep, that wasn't odd.
But it was good. It was, and we found out that... So what you were talking about, when they get back to their proper timeline on Earth, that's when Superman finds out that Lois and John were off on their own adventure.
Yeah.
And apparently Superman got back just seconds after Lois and John had gotten themselves, or at least Lois had gotten herself killed.
Yes.
And Superman's racing off to help Lois. He doesn't know exactly what happened yet. Booster finds out from Skeets and decides to go back in time a few seconds and change what happened before, because it could become, you know, cemented. And he'll deal with whatever the you know, ramifications are from that. But it was just it was a really good issue that gave some heart to the whole arc and to, you know, the relationship that Booster and Superman have had up to that point. And then a little bit with Flash, since they ruined Flash's treadmill.
Cosmic treadmill.
Sorry.
You're just no ordinary treadmill.
Yeah. And speaking of Flash, Spencer, you said you read Flash 41?
I did read Flash 41. One of the things I did like about this issue was when Wally was trying to evacuate the city and just all these little, like... Oh, I know this person, and like the guy with the flower shop and stuff like that, and just things like that, and how when he got to Iris, I can't remember, did he actually get her out, or did something happen? Is that how, like, the issue ended? Like, didn't something happen?
I think the issue ended like that.
But yeah, it's just it was so middle of the road issue, like you were saying, but I do have hope for that this arc is gonna be pretty good with Grodd in it, and I can't remember who did the art on this one. It wasn't the regular artist, right? It was another, like, fill-in guy.
This was Neil Gooch.
Okay. I mean, for what I remember, it was still, it was good. It's just,
yeah, it felt similar to, the regular artist, but
yeah,
it was bad.
But again, I think Williams does a really good job with, like how he was talking about when, like, Detective Comics, like, with having, like, Barry Dean Bailey, Wally sound like, and especially when you're Josh dealing with Williamson two definitely Wallys.
Knows the tone and the voice of all the characters really well. This was a good Wally issue. Barry. The stuff with Barry wasn't that great in this issue. He felt a bit off at points, like in him going to Godspeed.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was super believable to me. That quickly, but I mean, they were friends, so who knows?
Barry hasn't, through these last couple arcs, Barry hasn't had, like, the best decision making recently, with, like, everything going on with, like, the negative speed force and just how he's handled things.
Yeah.
So I guess with that in regards, like, it's kind of within his character so far, but he should probably know better.
Yeah.
As just being, like, you know, being an actual, like, not scientist, but he's still pretty smart.
I don't think there's any redemption for Godspeed.
No. Not even after the whole Iron Heights stuff?
He killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, innocent people.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we'll probably find out here soon.
Yeah.
He's probably working with Grodd, though.
I don't think so. I think he truly does want to help out. I just don't think he's able to be redeemed.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe he'll be, like, The Punisher or The Flash.
Yeah, it could be.
And just going around just people in the heart.
Yeah.
Howard Jordan, Green Lantern Corps.
I read that.
The Kyle, ooh, last issue ending with Kyle making it back to Oa to tell him about how. So this picks
Mogo.
Up. Uh-huh.
Mogo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There is no Oa.
Yeah, yeah. But it picks up pretty much right at, not right after, but soon after that with him telling the gang what's going on. And I like the you know, the argument of, you know, that Stewart and Guy was having about, like, oh, I gotta go, you know, up to the Guardians, mm-hmm. you know, chain of command. And Guy's like, no, we just gotta go there now. Howard come and save us. And while Stewart's, you know, talking to the Guardians, Howard's putting his own team together with, especially with Kyle being all kind of like a mixture of him and Hal because of the ring.
Yeah.
And how self-aware he was of even like, why did I just say that? Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed whenever after the Guardians didn't, you know, deny doing anything and he saw Guy and them flying off and he was just like, what took you guys so long? Yeah. Like, you know, he knew it was going to go happen. But
the only thing I wonder, because whenever Hal first made his ring, before it switched over to Rebirth, yeah, because this is before it switched over to Rebirth. I think he made his ring before the previous series ended, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
because it was the whole
whenever it was, but like he was super powerful. Like, yeah. he kept almost losing control of himself. He was
because that was power. Right after the whole gauntlet thing and stuff like that. And he was kind of blinking in and out of, like, he was becoming a conduit.
Yeah, and we've seen through Rebirth that he has been powerful, but not, like, to those levels.
Yeah, where you could, like, control it across galaxies.
Or, like, where he himself just almost turned into, like, a giant construct.
Yeah.
But then, whenever Kyle gets his ring, like, Kyle is supercharged. And Kyle seems to be, you know, wielding way more power than he's ever even imagined. And I'm just wondering why.
It even seems more than whenever he was Ion.
Yeah.
And, like, that was, like, a whole bunch.
And I'm just wondering why he has all this power with Hal's ring, but Hal recently hasn't seemed to have, like, that much power. Maybe he's just, you know, controlling it better.
Yeah. But
Hal did get his ass kicked by Zod pretty easily.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those emotional things or something, or since, like, Kyle's in such a bad shape, like, he's literally needing it to keep him together. I can't remember how the issue ends. Does it basically end just with, like, them showing up there on that new planet and getting ready to throw down?
No, I think they started fighting because,
I remember Hal being able to feel the ring was.
I think they showed because then you had the indigenous people like, oh, well, if they can fight against them, we can fight against them. And, I think it was that one, or was that one in the Action Comics? It's weird because both Action and, Green Lantern Corps
are dealing with, like,
we're dealing with the same planet and dealing with the Zod family, but Action, we were seeing, like, what would have happened way down the line, assuming that Zod and his family continued to thrive on this planet and build up their, you know, their followers, whereas Green Lantern Corps, you're seeing it, you know, just when they first got there. But yeah, I think the issue ended with them starting to fight a little bit. It didn't get too, regardless, didn't get too far into it.
So I imagine with that, it's going to be a lot of the next issue. It's just a lot of throwdown, which should be fun.
Yeah, I still don't see this group that they sent, though, standing a chance against Zod's family.
Yeah, I mean, and I liked a lot of the characters that they sent, like that lava guy, just like a lot of.
I feel like they had to send the entire, like, Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. Well, no, you do have supercharged Kyle, so.
Yeah.
Teen Titans?
I didn't read it yet.
It's more, it just basically deals with, from the fallout from the whole Super Sons crossover, with them having to move out of the tower, with they getting all, not completely destroyed, but, you know, pretty wrecked. So they're all moving out. The issue focuses a lot on, Beast Boy, because he's, like, almost just about, like, everybody else on the team kind of has, like, a place to go. And Beast Boy's more, doesn't really have anybody else. And, which this issue made me kind of realize from, like, I really don't know Beast Boy's, like, actual origin. Like, of how he got his powers and stuff like that. And, yeah, like, from all the, like, from the cartoons and the other comics and stuff I watched, I've never saw how he actually got, if he was just born with it or if it was some kind of accident or something.
Yeah, same here, not sure.
But, after he leaves the tower, he goes to a Major League Baseball game because with him being, like, a semi-celebrity and stuff like that, but with him feeling down, he turns into, like, an elephant or something ridiculously big like that and throws the pitch and, like, breaks the catcher's hand and arm and stuff like that, so people are all mad at him, and he's leaving, and one of his fans come up to him who turns out, at this point, is a hologram, but convinces him to come back to their operation where they have, like, this little setup with a whole bunch of, like, unappreciated people, like, smart tech guys working on this stuff, and convinces him to take, it's not described as a drug, but it's, like, this thing he has to inhale, and I think it's basically what they're going to use to, like, kind of control him. So that's probably what this story arc is probably going to be, is the Titans probably going to have to go up against him and, you know, free him and stuff like that. But, it was an alright start to the story arc, but, I'm really interested to see here soon what they're going to do with both Titans and Teen Titans, because they're both just kind of, like, fluttering a little bit. Yeah. With, like, you know, they're kind of just spinning their wheels. And then, Moon Knight. You didn't read Moon Knight?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to... I think I did. Yeah, because, like, Frenchie took his face off and all that. And
Because, like, he's still having a conversation with the zombie Frenchie.
Yeah.
And the daughter's like, can you stop having, how do you phrase it, like...
In your head conversation. Yeah, like, fantasy conversation or something like that.
I thought Face Off was Travolta and Cage.
That's much better when it's Frenchie and Mark.
Yeah. But then, the group that's after him, you know, throws a brick through the window and, you know, tells him if, you know, if she wants to see, what's her name? The mother of the daughter.
Yeah.
That, you know, you'll come with us, so of course he does, on this big boat to this island, and, of course they tie him up, but he, you know, gets free, and takes out everybody on, you know, on the ship, and cuts off, Bushman's first two fingers?
Yeah.
And throws him off the boat, which I guess is better than getting your face cut off.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
So they eventually get him to the island, and they won.
Goes all sweat lodge with the guy.
Yeah, yeah. And I like the conversation they had before then. Whenever he's just like, you know, he's trying to convince, you know, Moon Knight to just, you know, go take a nap, and we'll talk about this here soon. He's just like, you're gonna drug me, aren't you? Like, But yeah, they do really like Sweat Lodge, like you said, and kind of have like this.
They go on a vision quest.
Yeah, and at the end realizes that.
Ra was right.
Yeah, that Ra was right. So I've been enjoying this relaunch. This is one of the ones that I've actually been liking from that whole the legacy.
Yeah, and it references Lemire's run as well.
Yeah, he references like a little bit of almost all of it, like, you know, but not being too consistent or stuck to either one.
Yeah,
but like, I don't want to say pays like homage to, but references or keeps that kind of like in mind as moving forward and doing his own thing with the character.
Yeah, because he talks about how Frenchie died, which was from that run.
Yeah.
But Frenchie says something like, I wouldn't have died that way. I would have died dignified or whatever. Yeah. And it was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so like, is he really dead? Because like, it's still kind of like,
well, it's really in his head. I mean, that's the whole thing.
So it's still kind of, with that run, like, how much of that did actually happen and how, like, you know.
Yeah, and part of me thinks that, in the next issue or, in the last issue, he's still going to be in the asylum in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
And that's how it ends. Like, the whole run happened in his head.
Yeah. And the last one I'll talk about is a comic that I picked up this weekend from the Cleveland Wizard Ward. It's called Haunted High-Ons. And it's from a guy, it's written from a guy named Derek Manning, who I've met at previous shows, who I got his work from, and it's pretty good. It's being published by Source Point Press. They just had, last month was their first time having books in the preview guide. And then it follows, if anybody's familiar with the rap duo Twisted, who is, like, familiar with, like ICP and, like, that kind of stuff. But it opens up with them working in this party store that they own, and a customer comes in asking about the side job that they do of hunting ghosts. So they...
Juggalo ghost hunters.
So they take her up on the job, because normally they just film themselves running around the house and doing, stuff like that, and say, oh, we caught the ghost, and get paid. So they showed up to, because her twin sister died at the house because she felt there was a spirit there. So she tried to get in, she started reading these, books, these old books and stuff like that, try to figure out what was going on, ends up getting killed from the spirit that's there. So when they go there, they run into the ghost of the sister, and then run into the spirit that killed her. And this is just a one-shot. They said that they plan on doing an ongoing series, but they just got this one shot out just to try to, get it out there. I don't know when the ongoing's coming out. But to anybody who's, a fan of their music or the writer, it's just that it's funny, kind of stupid. But I like both of those guys, so I thought it was really entertaining. And looking forward to whenever the regular series is starting. But that's it.
That's it.
What'd you read, Colin?
We already covered. I only read a few. I read Action Mirror and Terrific, so we already covered those.
Anything else you want to talk about, Colin?
Yes, there is. So, this week was an interesting case study in, customer education, I guess is the best way to put it.
Lack of education.
I've been kind of preaching pre-ordering. Because it helps me order, knowing what people are interested in, especially, if I only get a few orders, a few people interested in something, I don't normally order a lot. But some books are really steady. And in this case, it was Amazing Spider-Man. And it's been really steady. I've been selling about the same number for years. Not really much fluctuation. So all of a sudden this week, big increase in orders starting about on Sunday for a book, because that's when it went up to $20 on eBay. So all of a sudden I'm getting all these people ordering it and going, well, I'm pre-ordering, but the problem being it was already sold out at Diamond. I wasn't able to get any more, and because it was going for big money, all of a sudden all these people wanted it, and it's just a little frustrating. So pre-ordering means ordering at least a month out so that I can adjust numbers to make sure I have enough. A big problem this week was Gideon Falls, the new one by Jeff Lemire, that I thought I ordered plenty of and sold out today and did not have that many people ask for it, or I would have ordered a lot more. And again, a lot of people added it late, which is fine, but I can't always guarantee I'll have it. And that's kind of one of those things, even though you order it even, you know, through the app or an email or anything, doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to have it. If it's something you know you want, please let me know as soon as possible. I'm trying to give you as many tools as I can, you know, especially with the app. You can be sitting on your sofa and let me know you want something. But there is a time component to it. I do need to know, you know, the sooner the better. I'm ordering right now books that are shipping in May. So, and then I do have time to adjust, but even now I'm already, you know, putting final touches on stuff that's shipping in April, and it's only the 7th. So if there's something that you're interested in, please let me know. And just because you want the hot book, I can't always have it. I had somebody dropped off a list on Sunday for over 100 books coming out today. And it's like, I don't just happen to have 100 extra copies of these books. It doesn't magically happen. And I'm sure you knew you wanted some of these well before Sunday. So it's just frustrating to me. You know, let me know. I'm not, you know, it's not hard. I'm not hard to get a hold of. I'm not hard to, you know, hard to find.
Were the 100 books all different books or just?
Well, it was like, I want Batman both covers. I want Justice League both covers. I want Shadow and Batman all covers, which there are 12. Green Hornet all covers. You know, Amazing Spider-Man all covers. Well, there were 5 covers with all the variants. And it's just, you know, that's a daunting task to tell me on Sunday that you want all this and just expect me to have all these extra copies just sitting around hoping somebody's going to want them. I can't do that anymore. Margins are tight, books are expensive, and every extra book on the shelf, you know, is costing me money, so I have to order. I'm not ordering super tight, but I don't order enough that I have 100 extra copies of books. You know, just, gosh, I hope somebody comes in for these. So if you know you want it, which you, I'm assuming this guy did, you know, why did he, you know, he wanted every cover of Shadow Batman 6. Well, I'm sure you knew that before Sunday, you know, so let me know. I'm happy to get the stuff in. I'm happy to get you in anything you want, but I need warning. You know, if you're just asking me, you know, to fill you out of what I ordered extra for the shelf, that, you know, and the problem with Spider-Man, it was a lot more people than normal. You know, I normally sell a certain amount of Spider-Man. I up my order a little bit because things have been increasing, but not enough to cover the increased demand this week. Just, and I think most of it is because it was, you know, it's going, when they see something going for $20 online, oh, I want one. Well, that's great, but so I had, you know, none for the shelf today, so I felt bad for the people that, you know, just come in and normally pick it up off the shelf. Normally, I do have shelf copies that, you know, I never want to have none for the shelf. I never want to sell out the day of release. That's never the plan. But, you know, three and a half weeks ago when I put in my final numbers, they looked good. You know, that was, I never under order. That's no way to do it. So that's my request to you. If you know you want something, let me know. It's not a secret. You know, I try to have enough, but I can't always do it. And then publishers are doing fun stuff, too, like Oblivion Song, which I did order a lot of. I don't know how it sold. I mean, I know it sold well. I don't know exactly how well it sold today. But that's one where they said they will not do a second print. This is it. One print. They overprinted, so there are more to get, from my assumption, but they're not going to go back and do second prints. They're like, you know, I don't know the rationale behind that.
Because you figure if the demand was there, the like you take the money to...
Right.
And where they're saying you got to wait till the trade comes.
Well, yeah, I think part of the problem, you know, don't put all the pressure on me to front
Didn't
you the
do
money.
Did they do that whenever Saga came out? They said no second prints?
You know, I don't remember that.
I just remember, this big thing where they sent out an email to retailers saying, like, this is Saga, you guys should know, or this is Brian K. Vaughan, you guys should know better. And
I get what they're saying. Here's my problem with Brian K. Vaughan. From when I opened... The only he had Ex Machina and Why the Last Man. Mm-hmm. both of which sold a very steady 3 copies. So, okay, it's Saga. So should I order 3 copies? You know, that's what...
Yeah.
You know, I we should know, okay, we should know why.
Why?
You know, give me a reason to know why I should order, you know, a boatload. Yeah. I don't know. I guess they think, because they've been there for a while, everybody's been there for a while, not really taking into account, you know. You know, books like, you know, Fables never sold numbers for me, all this stuff. You know, sells great in trades and all that kind of stuff. So it's always hard to tell what's going to sell, what's not. I'm seeing my variants going up on DC, you know, are selling a lot more. I don't know specifically why. But, you know, great covers, but that's, you know, a judgment call, and that's really hard. You know, well, you should have ordered more of that because it's got a really good cover.
But that's an opinion.
Right. Yeah. What I think
that's
is a great cover might
not
be...
Buying it.
Yeah, someone else might not think it's a great cover. Who knows? Yeah, but just help me. If there's something you want, you know, please let me know as soon as you know. Because letting me know the day before isn't super helpful.
Well, technically pre-ordering, it isn't.
It isn't. It's, as Jermaine says, it's post-ordering. Because you know.
Anything after FOC is post-ordering.
Yep, because it's just tapping into what I already ordered. So...
Because it's not even that, like, hey, if you have, like, an extra copy or something, could you put it aside for me? They want multiple copies.
Right. Well, that's what's the other problem with this. Oh, hold me 5 of that. No, I don't have 5 for you. You know, one guy's like, oh, can you hold me 2? I'm like, honestly, no, I can't. So, that's what I got for this week. That's my rant. But, yeah, just, you know, like I posted the one thing, help me help you. You know, I guess I need to modify that one a little bit or update it. The earlier the better. Because some people, you know, come on. You know, like I finally got one guy who was an every Marvel guy, but he would not order. And he'd just come in and pull them all off the shelf. Well, some I was selling out of some. You know, some, they fluctuate. You never know. You never know what's going to be a hot book. You know, why is Moon Girl suddenly hot? And so it just kind of got to be the point where he finally got on the app and started doing it. It's great. Sadly, he still does put everything in, like, on, you know, Sunday. But at least it's in there for the computer to kick out so that I do hold it. But,
right.
You know, it's a case of if you know you always want every issue, just
right, but
put
if
in
he does
ongoing.
It on Sunday and I happen to do it on Saturday, I'm going to get that book.
The problem is the computer doesn't designate by time entered.
Oh.
So I have no idea of knowing when someone ordered something. Right. So that's
weird.
Yeah. So, I haven't had that situation yet where I've had to, and what it should also do is if, one thing was interesting, a guy was trying to order something on the app and it wouldn't let him, and it's because it was sold out at Diamond, and I didn't have any extra, so it's like, I can't get this for you, and that's why it won't let you order something that I can't get for you. So, I thought that was kind of nice of, you know, the app doing that, you know, to keep people from ordering stuff I don't have. I do have to be a little more... I don't know. For some reason, the computer was showing I had a copy of Thanos 14 and somebody tried to order it on the app. It wouldn't let him order, and he emailed me. I'm like, no, that's long gone. He's like, well, it shows you have it. I'm like, well, that's wrong. So I don't know what happened there. But so that's all I have to complain about. I promise I will read more this week. I just got way off base last week.
What's coming out next week?
Next week? Do you want to know what's coming out next? Normally, yeah. Pat says that.
Pat walked away.
Wandered off.
I was checking out your Spider-Man
statue. Isn't that a nice Spider-Man statue?
Yeah, that is nice.
That is a very nice Spider-Man statue. And I'm doing my best not to take home. Next week, we have Action Comics 999, which is a one-shot kind of wrapping up Jurgen's run in anticipation of Bendis taking over with 1,000. We also have Avengers 684, which is the return of Banner Hulk. Dun, dun, dun.
Cutie Hulk.
We have Betrothed, number one. This is a neat one. This is from Aftershock, where these two high schoolers, they don't really know each other in school, and it turns out in another dimension, they're both leaders of great armies that are fighting one another, and they have to either get married or fight to the death. That's their options. So, Come Into Me is a new one from Black Mask. Detective Comics 976, continuing on the Trial of Batman stuff. The shattering of the Bat Family. Dry County is a new one from Rich Tomaso, who just did Spy Seal. Encounter is one. It's by Art Balthazar and Franco, and it's drawn by Chris Iliopoulos, so, you know, a kid book. Eternity Girl, number one. This is the new Young Animal. This is by Magdalene Diziago. Green Lantern Earth 1 hardcover. Infidel, number one. This is a new one from Image, where it's a American Muslim living in a haunted house that is powered by fear and hate. So it's kind of a different twist on a haunted house. Marvel 2-in-1, number four. That was for Adam, because he's enjoying that. Mr. Miracle, number seven. Looking forward to this one.
Lots of people enjoy that.
Yes. Neil Gaiman's American Gods next series starts up with My Ainsel. New Mutants, Dead Souls, number one. This is a mini-series by Matthew Rosenberg. He's really excited about it. Ninjak versus the Value Universe, number three. Port of Earth, trade paperback, volume one. This one has gotten a lot of good press. I really enjoyed number one, but I didn't keep up with it. Shocking.
It's a short trade.
I think it went four or five issues.
Four, I think.
Okay. It's only $10.
But I don't recall the first arc wrapping up yet. That's why I'm surprised.
Oh. A neat one from Lion Forge is Puerto Rico Strong. It's a fundraiser for Puerto Rico. It's only it's a $12.99 book. Secret Weapons Owen story. This is a one-shot. Owen is the one who could conjure things out of thin air, but it wasn't always things that he needed.
False?
Sorry?
It wasn't always what he wanted, but it was okay. Usually what he needed.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I only read the first two issues. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, like he would think he wanted something else, mm-hmm. but the thing he actually got, he was more useful in the long run.
Okay. Kind of I just remember one time he got a balloon, and I don't remember that being all that.
I think they ended up showing, yeah.
Okay. Sheriff of Babylon Deluxe Hardcover, collecting both volumes. Sideways number two. Star Wars Thrawn number two. Subspecies number one. This is the Colin Bunn Action Lab book. This is a vampire book. Speaking of vampires, we have for Dave, Vampironica number one, with some awesome covers. It was really hard to pick. The main cover is fantastic, but then you also got a Francavilla, you got a Mock, a Morissette, a Sauvage.
That's the Archie Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
But right, where Veronica is bitten, yes. So, those are the biggies coming out next week. So, book club, we had to kick, because the last Friday of the month was Good Friday, and a couple people said that's not good for them, so we kicked it to April 6th, and we are going to do, Sandman, to tie in with the new Vertigo Sandman stuff. I figured let's kickstart Sandman for people who haven't read it, might get them a little interested in these books. So, and it's one,
mind's blown, at least.
It's a good one. It's one that I used to read every 3 or 4 years, but I've gotten off track since I probably have not read it since I opened the store, or maybe once since I opened the store. And it's one I definitely enjoy, and it's different every time. I forget things every time. So I have more of those coming in when you're listening to this. They should be here in the store. So we're doing that. This month is Women in Comics Month. So any books with female creators, either writer, artist, inker, colorist. But please let me know that you're getting it for that reason, because so I don't have to examine the credits of everybody in every trade, because that would be a little tedious. So if you say, I'm getting this because, awesome. I will happily give you the double points. So that's going on. I don't think we have anything special going on else in March. Nothing I can think of. So I think that's about it. Pat, you weren't here last week.
I was not.
Could you say it?
That's podcast.
We will talk to you next week. See ya.